I don't know if you're aware of Deacon Ron's many talents. He is an expert family counselor. At least that's what I'm told. There's this little story that this family had a number of rather mischievous kids, two mischievous boys, to be specific, about an 8 and a 10-year-old, and the parents just could not. They were always getting into trouble. So they thought, okay, we're going to send these kids to Deacon Ron. So they took the 10-year-old, and they took him over to Deacon Ron. Deacon sits him down and kind of says, "Do you know where God is?" Is that how it went? Something like this. Kid didn't move. "Do you know where God is?" And the kid was petrified. Asked him again, "Do you know where God is?" The kid runs out of the rectory, runs home, goes up to his bedroom, shuts the door. His brother is there, and the brother kind of opens the door of the closet where he's hiding. He said, "Well, what is this all about? Why are you hiding?" "God is missing, and they're blaming us." Is that how that went? Okay, it's an old joke, but one of those things. But God is missing, and they're blaming us. God is missing. You know, sometimes as we live lives, we can say, you know, God is a million miles away. God is missing, and we kind of wonder where God is. And today, as we celebrate the Feast of Christmas, we celebrate the God who was born 2,000 years ago. We remember him born in Bethlehem, but also we remember him born again among us, because Christ is born on our altar as we celebrate the Eucharist, and Christ is present as we live our lives, and we also know that Christ is going to come again. Those are the three main comings, the manifestations of Jesus. Jesus, as Son of God, was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, as Son of God, comes sacramentally, and Jesus will come again at the end of time, at the last judgment. God is very much present in his Son, Jesus. There was a survey taken a while back that said a lot of people do not believe that there was actually the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and who is also a human being. And our scriptures talk about that very explicitly. Our scriptures talk about that. There are also historians that talk about that. The old historian Josephus, who lived at the time of Jesus, talked about that birth of a Jesus Christ, talked about his, you know, messiahship to some extent, acknowledged the fact that he existed. Jesus lives. He was among us. He walked among us. He was God and human. And is Jesus missing from our lives? Well, maybe to some extent. But Jesus still comes again in so many ways, in so many insignificant and almost unseen ways. If you spend some time meditating on the crib scene in the back as you leave, or some other time if you just want to stop in, that crib scene was first initiated by St. Francis of Assisi. He was the first one that began those creches. But if you look at it, there was Jesus, who is God, born in an insignificant way in Bethlehem. He was laid in a manger. There were animals present. Now, is that the way one would expect God to appear to us? I wouldn't think so. He was born in Bethlehem. If you remember last Sunday's first reading from the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Micah, Micah talks about the insignificance of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was just a little town outside of Jerusalem. Not much was going on there. It was noted for sheep and shepherds, very little else. But King David came from that town. And King David was anointed a king in that town. But it talks about the insignificance of Bethlehem. It would be kind of like, well, the next president of the United States is going to be born in Jackson, you know? And you kind of go, well, maybe. You never know. But Jesus was born in that insignificant town of Bethlehem in a manger where there were shepherds and there were animals and was far off the beaten path. Insignificant ways that God comes to us. We expect God to come in magnificence. We expect God to come in wonderful situations, in our day-to-day activities, you know, where there's wonderful things happening. But the manifestation of God comes subtly and almost insignificantly. I was listening to a discussion on the radio a number of weeks back, and the interviewee was talking about the presence of God in his life. And that interviewee was talking about September 11th. And the interviewer was kind of basically asked the question, which I'm sure we heard a number of times, well, where is God in all this? And this man said, that God was present in those twin towers. God was present on every floor with every individual that needed God at that particular point. God comes to us in these unexpected ways, in unexpected times, but God comes when we need God most. And that's important. The reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of our Christmas readings, not read today, but the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. There are so many ways that darkness permeates our lives. We talk about the darkness of those twin towers. We talk about the darkness of terrorism. We talk about the darkness of violence. We talk about those darknesses that are part of our world. We talk about those darknesses that are part of our lives. Maybe we're dealing with some family issues or some health issues. Maybe issues with a family friend. There's so many issues of darkness that we deal with. And sometimes we forget that in those times of greatest darkness, the light of Christ is there, brightening our way and giving us insight, consolation, and strength. And sometimes we miss it. Christmas is that feast that says, open your eyes. Open your eyes to see the light of Christ. Open your eyes to see that bright light that shines to us in our darknesses, in those unexpected and unexplained situations. Sometimes those areas that we seem just insignificant, we reflect on them and just say, oh yes, there was God at that time when I needed him most. You're probably going to spend a lot of time with family today. That's a wonderful thing. And sometimes family don't always get along too well. That may be a little bit of that darkness that comes in. How can we bring the light of Christ into that little bit of darkness? Maybe you're going to look at your Christmas cards again. I hope you got a couple. Each Christmas card is written in such a way that oftentimes it's a prayer. That prayer is a little glimpse of God's light coming to us from the person that sent us that card. Maybe you're going to look at the lights on the trees. You're going to say, well, that's really nice. But maybe the light, if you look at it one more step, and if you open your eyes wide enough, you're going to be remembered that Christ is the light that shines in our darkness. You're going to find the light of Christ in your family, in your spouse, in your kids, in your parents, in all those people that you're going to be gathering with. And even if you're not going to gather with them, you reflect on the light that they have been in your life. Because I'm sure there's been a glimmer of light in every family member's life, from everyone that you've met. Maybe the light is just a twinkle, but there is indeed a light. And that light, to be able to see, be able to open our eyes, is what the message of Christmas is all about. Because Christ comes to us in so many different ways, and many of those are ways in which we are unexpected, because Christ, the light, guides us on our journey.